On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, we have a packed show as I will preview the upcoming game against Florida, review this past week in Gamecock Athletics, and wrap things up with my six-pack of picks and an insight into the most recent college football playoff rankings. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 16 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode between 1801 to 2001. And real quick, just because we're coming off the bye here, if there are any new listeners, what I mean by that is my goal for this podcast is to have every episode land between 18 minutes and 1 second to 20 minutes and 1 second as a shout out to our beloved university, the grand old University of South Carolina. And if you can't hear it in my voice, it is good to be back. Fresh off the bye week, I feel refreshed. Back in the cola groove. Yeah, remix. But it was a good time, right? I mean, the bye week now, we're back in business, and it was a nice round number. We have 4 games, 1 month left to end this season strong. And, you know, it was a pretty big week across college football and South Carolina athletics as a whole. So without having the stress and the intense focus that we have on Gamecock football, it really was nice to take a step back and enjoy everything as just a pure fan. And so with that, we're going to go right into things, and I'm going to review this past week. Like I said, there was a lot going on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go everything South Carolina, all South Carolina news. We're going to dive into the Florida preview, and then when I review my six-pack of picks for this weekend, I'm also going to touch on the college football landscape as a whole, most particularly the recent college football rankings, because it is that time of year again. But all right, so here we go. A few unfortunate start to this one, guys. Women's volleyball, they took an L to Ole Miss 0-3. That's all right. We'll get them next time, girls. Women's soccer, they also took a loss to Auburn 1-2. Screw Auburn, man. Men's soccer also took an L to Marshall. But I think Marshall, I think I actually saw they are the reigning champs, the conference champs, maybe national. I don't know. I saw some crazy stat with them. So I don't think there's much shame in losing to Marshall there. Men's golf, though, second place in the Daniel Island Intercollegiate. That's pretty electric. And women's basketball, I know it was an exhibition match, but they beat the crap out of Benedict, 91-41. And I didn't have a chance to watch much of that game, but from what I've seen in highlights and analysis, the depth that we have on our team is just redonkulous. I mean, the rotations that Dawn Staley can have, that is what makes championship teams, right? That you can go 8, 9, 10 deep. When you can do that in basketball, it is hard to go against. And also, they came out number one in the USA Today preseason poll. Just add it to the list, man. This team is going to be something to be reckoned with. Men's basketball, they have their exhibition against Benedict also. That's literally on right now as I'm recording. I last saw it was 48-25, so hopefully they can cruise as well. And their season start Tuesday. So that's electric. The Sunday show, going to have to throw in a little bit of preview with that. Again, it's going to be a balancing act, but looking for some big seasons from both the men's and women's teams for Gamecock basketball. But now moving over to football news. I said basketball. That was weird. Sorry. Weird accent came out there. That was ugh. So football news. Jalen Brooks, fortunately, he's still away from the team for personal reasons. I really hope everything is going okay with him. Hope to see him back soon. Dylan Wonnum was listed as questionable for the Florida game. And you know what? That's just exactly what this offensive line needs, right? Most experienced linemen 4-year starter out. Ugh. Hits just keep on coming to this line, man. I tell you, Jalen Dickerson, he was listed as doubtful. Shane Beamer announced that a while ago, like pretty early in the week, even the end of last. So maybe things will change by game time. I hope so. And then also the Missouri game in Como was announced that it'll be 4 p.m. So that starts off the Tiger stretch, as I'm calling it, 4 p.m. in Columbia, Missouri. But with that being said, let's take a look and preview at the Gamecocks' upcoming matchup for this Saturday against the damned old Florida Gators. So, as we all know, night game in Williams-Brice, 7:30, it's going to be electric, and I just got to believe that people are going to show up and be loud. It's a night game, it's an SEC matchup, we're coming off a bye, there's only 3 games left, so I got to believe that the Gamecock fans, the Gamecock faithful, are going to show out. I mean, yes, the season has had some tough times, and yes, Beamer has called for the fans to be at every game and be loud, and it felt like he kind of used maybe all his, not all his chips, but a good amount of his chips for the Kentucky game, got everybody to show out, be hype, be loud, his night game, and just didn't really go our way. But hey, if you can't get excited for a night game in Williams-Brice in general, I don't know what we're doing here. But if you can't get excited for a night game in Williams-Brice against an Eastern rival, I mean, come on. That gets my pulse going, I'll tell you that much. And, you know, as we look to this last 4 stretch of games, I had my Zeb-tober, Zeb-vember bet that if he leads us to a bowl game, I would buy his jersey. With his status up in the air now, I'm debating about another bowl bet for myself. I'm going to have to think about it. I wish I had something in writing for y'all, but I'm thinking that if we make a bowl game in general, I'm just going to go head-to-toe in whatever city it is. So if it's Birmingham Bowl, you'll see me rocking a Birmingham sweater and a Birmingham hat, but who knows. But all right, so for Florida, what are we looking at here? They're 4-4. I believe they're 2-4 in the SEC, so we're both 4-4. They've had a bit of an up-and-down season lately. They have not performed up to the standards that every Florida fan has and their program has. They have high standards, and their last 4 games, their only win was against Vandy. So, you know, they could be down a little bit. I mean, you could say, well, Carolina, you're 2-2 your last 4, and it was Troy and Vandy. Hey, whatever. 2-2 is better than 1-3. Get off me. But, I mean, look, there could be some turmoil, in Gainesville, right? I mean, they are having a bit of a down year. Is Dan Mullen's seat a little hot? I don't know. And there was that weird quote he had that he doesn't focus on recruiting during the season. Is it possible that people are spoiling on him just a little bit a year after they had this incredible year? I don't know. It's interesting to keep an eye on. But it feels like every year South Carolina faces some team with some turmoil or some quarterback controversy or a freshman quarterback, and we just assume they're going to be mentally weak, and then they just smoke us. So I'm not putting too much stock into any rumors that are swirling around the Florida program right now. But I mean, last week, though, they did play Georgia. That's got to be an emotionally draining game. They got the crap beat out of them, and that's a huge game. That's arguably their biggest game every year. But those are the kind of things that you could hope to snowball to end up in South Carolina's favor. And the Gamecocks right now, they sit as an 18-point underdog. But if you ask me, it doesn't feel quite as daunting as some of the other big underdogs we've been, right? I'm not going to say that South Carolina can just, you know, shock the world and we can take this game lightly. I certainly don't have the same expectations I had against a Kentucky or maybe Tennessee, but for whatever reason, this game feels like it could play closer to that spread, maybe a little bit lower than that 18-point spread. At least I hope so, right? Because I don't think any one of us could take another beatdown, and I know it's at home. So, like, can we please put on a good show? And I guess I would be remiss. I think that's the word. I would be remiss if I didn't bring up that Carolina, we do have a bit of a track record with playing Florida when their coach may or may not be on the hot seat, and then we beat them and they get fired. Cough, cough, Muschamp, cough. So, hey, Maybe we can make that happen with Mullen, too. Wouldn't that be something? All right, so my crows to the game, and for any new listener here, I don't do keys to the game. Everyone has their keys to the game. We have our rooster crow, so I have my crows to the game here. So overall, both sides of the ball, everybody, coaches, have a sense of urgency, right? We are coming off of a bye. Everyone should be healthy. They should be refreshed. They should be re-energized. Coaches have said all year, we got to start fast. We got to have that urgency. Well, guess what? Now's the time. Understand there's only four games left, and if this team wants to prove itself and say that, hey, we have some momentum going, and if these coaches want to sell the future, it starts now. It starts this month, so let's go. My first crow to the game on the defensive side of the ball, don't let the Florida quarterbacks beat us with their feet. Now, I'm going to assume that it's going to be just Emory Jones. Seems like Richardson, he was banged up. I think he has a concussion. I don't think he even practiced, but hey, that guy's freaking good. So if he's good to go on Saturday, I could see him just suiting up. But regardless, him and Emory, they're both incredible athletes. Dan Mullen, he's a genius at making things easy for his playmakers to show off their strengths. So if you can make him one-dimensional, it just makes it that much easier. You know, he might have a couple of runs, but don't let him just beat you all day with it. Because if you ask me, his arm is good, but not great. Now, my second crow to the game on defense, I want to see the linebackers step up in a major way for this game, right? Florida typically is really good. They put guys in motion. They put a lot of window dressing on their play, so they'll have two wide receivers on either side, and they'll move it over, so it's trips. And you know what? You need to be able to communicate that, right? Who has who? Florida, they also like to incorporate their running backs into the passing game. They'll actually even put two backs in the backfield a lot of times, which is pretty unusual nowadays, especially if you are in the gun. So if we line up man-to-man, our linebackers, you can't let a running back catch the ball in space because that could be a big play, right? Florida did a lot of that in the LSU game. That was a high-scoring game. They moved the ball very well. So we have to be able to stop those guys and make those tackles if they are there. My third crow to the game, this is, you know, kind of a, not a throwaway, but score points. I mean, if our defense, if they can score points, you bring that 18-point underdog a hell of a lot closer. So pick six, scoop and score, that would be one hell of a crow to the game. Now on the offensive side of the ball, first crow to the game is take what the defense gives us. When you look at the stats, this Florida team, they're a bend-don't-break team this year. Their defense coordinator, Tom Grantham, he's known for blitzing. He seemed to have backed off whatever reason this year. I think because he knows he's coaching for his job. So, hey, if the check down is there, take it. Let's keep the chains moving. Don't overthink things. Don't get cute. Just take what they give you. And if we get into any sort of scoring range, don't allow Florida to take that momentum away. All right? So Shane Beamer, I highly doubt you listen to this show. But if you do, it's okay to take the points. You can use Parker White. He could be a crow to a game in his own damn self. It's okay to take three. We don't have to go for it on the 37 or whatever the hell we do. Second crow to the game, use what we learned during the bye week. Call me an idealist, but I have to believe that these coaches took the time over the week and I hope that they learned that playmakers like EJ, Jaheim Bell, Z White, they got to be on the field as much as possible. That shouldn't take a week off to learn, but take that and make it happen. Install some stuff. Move around personnel. Do whatever you have to do. And I also got to believe that they found some tendencies that they were hurting us, and they talked through that, and they found ways to correct that. So let's see some improvement off of bye. And my third crow to the game, block. Just block somebody. That's all I need to say. So overall for this game, while I'm not holding a ton of hope that the Gamecocks are going to have some incredible upset, I am slightly more hopeful for this game than I was for A&M or Georgia. If you're going to have a storm for an upset, this is not a bad one. This is a pretty good one for Carolina. UF is in a down year. There's some bad energy around their program this year. They're coming off a bad loss, and they're on the road at Willie B at night. Not a bad combination, if you ask me. Now, the other side of that, though, is that the Gamecocks have to play the game of their lives, basically, right? Have the best game they've had. Yeah, way above anything we've seen this season. We have to hope that the bye week let guys get healthy and re-energized, and we have to hope that the coaches found some ideas, if you will. But maybe the whole program rises to the occasion and gets Shane Beamer a signature win in year one. So without getting into score predictions, I don't like to do that, as y'all know. I'm hoping that this is a competitive game, one that we can really see a good back and forth game. And if it's within arm's reach in the fourth quarter, then hey, maybe we get some Williams-Bryce magic. But regardless, I'm happy to have Carolina football back in our lives. Let's go, Cox. So moving away from Carolina football, going to review my six-pack of picks. I just want to say, your boy, he went 5-1 last week. So I took the bye week, I calibrated, I saw the board so clearly. And the one loss was only because I was a dumbass and I took the over in the Georgia-Florida game, which didn't even miss by that whole much. Florida scored one time, dogs get another three, hits. But 5-1. But the news from last week in college football has to be the playoff rankings, right? It's that time of year. The committee met, the committee ranked, and let me tell you, y'all, what a bag of crap. My goodness. Disagree? Let's debate. I love debating football. I love arguing about the committee and the rankings. It is a passion. But now it is set in stone, right? I mean, we all knew that they were favoring the big brands. We all knew that they favored the Power Five. This is it. Top four. Here we go. Georgia, Alabama, Michigan State, Oregon. Most notably, in my mind, Cincinnati is at sixth. Six. This is a team that has done everything, everything that you've asked them to do. They've beaten Power Five teams, and you put them at six. At least put them at four so they can play their way out of it, right? And you put Alabama at two. So clearly what they're saying is, you know what, you have the reputation, you were number one to start the year, and yeah, you had that loss, but what we're going to do is we're going to rank A&M high, we're going to rank Mississippi State high, Ole Miss high, so those wins look even better. And you can see what they're doing here. Alabama's going to be two, they're going to face Georgia in the SEC championship. One of those teams is going to lose, but either way you slice it, they're both going to end up in the top four. Crazy. Honestly crazy. Why do we have an AP poll? Why do we have a coaches poll? Can't we just take the AP poll? It's been around forever. These people on the committee, they're from Power Five schools. They're former ADs. They have a bias. I don't know. I've always been on the fence about expansion. Expand. I think it'd be fun. Even if it's eight, who cares? Michigan State at three. That's a good pick. You know, they had that great game last week. Sparty. And they were in the six pack. So shout out Sparty real quick. All right. That's my rant. Just ridiculous. But no Clemson, though, so that's fun. All right, so my six-pack of picks. Any new listeners, real quick. So it's six-pack. I don't bet on Carolina. I don't like to mix business with pleasure. I get stressed enough already. So we do one game from each Power 5 conference and then one game from a group of five. All right, so starting with the ACC, I'm going NC State versus Florida State over 56. That game's at four. Big Ten, Ohio State minus 15 versus Nebraska. That game's at noon. Speaking about rankings, Ohio State, they're on the outside looking in. They're at number five. They've been playing incredibly well as of late, really after that loss to Oregon. I think they know that they have to start kicking ass if they want to get in there. Big 12, give me Baylor versus TCU under 58. TCU, Gary Patterson, he's out after like two decades or some amazing run like that. They were already crap. I think they're going to be crap again. Baylor's got a good D. Pac-12, this was a crapshoot. Cal, minus 10 versus Arizona. Arizona hasn't won a game this year, so Cal. SEC, you could argue this is the game of the day. Auburn, plus 4.5 versus Texas A&M. That game's at 3:30. Two evenly matched teams, in my opinion. I clicked on that one, and I said, whoever is getting the points, I'm going to go with that. I was also tempted to do Georgia, either the under, or they're getting like 39 points against Mizzou. That's crazy. So I might do that little sprinkle on top. Group of five, give me Tulsa versus Cincy. That is over. I didn't have that written down. So whatever, I think it was over 56. Give me Cincinnati. I think they're pissed off. I think they know what they have to do. So that's 55. All right, sorry. That's show business, baby. Yeah, I think Cincinnati is just going to put up a bunch of points. They know that they're pissed off. But with that, that wraps up this episode, y'all. As always, please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks, and Instagram is Cox Talking Gamecocks, just the name of the show. Please like and leave reviews of the pod, subscribe to the pod, and if you have any ideas, please let me know, DM me. This is a group effort here. Takes a village. Let's go, Cox.